Now, whether directly or indirectly, the coronavirus pandemic has had traumatic effects for a lot of people. Could mean the loss of a friend or loved one, or the loss of a job, or feeling sadness for others who have been hit harder. And as we reopen more and more of the economy, it can be hard to keep our spirits up amid the uncertainty. Michigan State University health and wellness educators Jennifer Johnson and Claudia Finkelstein, together with their colleague Julia Felton, wrote a piece recently for The Conversation about preparing ourselves individually for what lies ahead in reentering public and workspaces. Jennifer Johnson is the C.S. Mott Professor of Public Health and Professor of OBGYN and Psychiatry at Michigan State. Dr. Johnson, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Claudia Finkelstein is Director of Wellness, Resilience, and Vulnerable Populations at Michigan State. Dr. Finkelstein, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Dr. Finkelstein, this is something I know you think about even when we're not in the midst of a pandemic, how we emotionally recover from and handle traumatic health-related events. Are there lessons from your kind of day-to-day work in the past that you think apply particularly well right about now?
Absolutely. I think that human beings, we are the same no matter what circumstances we're in. And despite the variability of everyone's circumstances, we can do things in common looking at what are our intrinsic signature strengths that have gotten us through rough times in the past. Anyone who's made it through to adulthood has survived some form of trauma or another, and drawing upon your signature strengths, upon the people around you, and just keeping your body well-tuned are very important basics. Beyond that, learning to regulate your own emotions and, you know, as we mentioned in the article, getting a little space in between the thoughts and emotions that arise in a stressful situation and any action that you take in response. So they're very basic skills, but very difficult to come up with in an emergency at times.
And Dr. Johnson, are there things in particular about a public problem like this? A lot of times our health issues are private. Our tragedies and traumas are limited to those close to us. Is there something different when it's this big? It is the top news story on the planet.
Well, you know, I think it both makes it easier and harder, right? It's harder in the sense that it's hard to get away from it. It's hard to get a break. And one thing we've been recommending to people is to take news breaks, to find some time to just think about something else. And that's really important. The one upside is that it isn't as isolated and that it might be easier to find people to talk to about what's going on, because you can probably find one, if not many, people who are going through something similar to you.
And Dr. Finkelstein, one problem from early on here was with social distancing, with staying at home, with businesses being closed and events. A lot of the places we might turn to for comfort and community were shut off to us. How can we overcome that obstacle?
Absolutely. I think it's interesting because the previous Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Vivek Murthy, even way before the pandemic, was talking about the epidemic of loneliness in the United States. So there was a certain degree of isolation that I believe predated the pandemic and has just been exacerbated by it. I think that we're lucky to live in an age where technology means that we don't have to be completely isolated, but there's no question that the virtual world is not exactly the same as the real one. As Jennifer was saying, the good news is that everybody has had life disrupted in one way or another. And I think that breaks down a barrier to talking to your colleagues, your family members, your neighbors, virtually, of course, distancing, perhaps on a deeper level than you would otherwise. I think employee assistance programs still exist. And there's been a rapid move towards telehealth, including teletherapy. And I think that we should all encourage each other to avail ourselves of any resource we have available.
We're talking to Claudia Finkelstein and Jennifer Johnson from Michigan State University about how to deal with our emotions during the coronavirus pandemic and as we start to go back out in public more in the weeks and months to come. Dr. Johnson, one concrete piece of advice that I thought was interesting in the piece you co-wrote was the way we talk about and to ourselves. If we're thinking things like, I can't deal with this, that may not be so good. But if I talk to myself like, Rob, here's what you do, for some reason, that third person conversation with myself can help.
Yes. So what it does, you know, a thought like, I can't deal with this, is very personal, very immediate. And if you even just say it out loud, you'll notice yourself, you know, feeling a little more anxious. But when you can put a little bit of distance between yourself and that overwhelming feeling, it gives you, like I said, that little bit of distance to kind of get through the moment.
Dr. Finkelstein, how do we catch ourselves in those moments where, you know, our negative thoughts, and negative thoughts are perfectly fine and valid, but how do we catch ourselves when we're going, letting them take over too much?
I think the body gives us a lot of good clues, you know. So if you start noticing that your fists are balled up, that your heart is racing, that you're breathing fast, you know, that's when we're really riled up or anxious, and noticing this change in what your body feels like may be the invitation to just unclench, take a few very deep breaths, and just, you know, simple emotional regulation techniques. But as you mentioned, the first thing you have to do is notice that you're off kilter. So in the moment, the body has clues. In day-to-day life, there are clues. Like if you are eating much more than usual, drinking much more than usual, just, you know, there are clues in your own behavior as well as in your body.
And Dr. Johnson, we heard from some of our listeners on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rebecca writes, I'm excited to see my work family. If they are the only ones I interacted with, I'd be thrilled. Unfortunately, Rebecca says, I work with the public, and the amount of anxiety that is giving me can't be healthy. She goes on, I have not gotten the word that we're reporting back yet, but when we do, I don't know if I'm emotionally ready. Dr. Johnson, what do you think? Is there an emotional toolkit we can have in that moment of returning to work and the anxiety that might come along with it?
Sure. So, I mean, there are some tips in general, right? And some of the things we've been talking about that just help your body deal with stress and your mind deal with stress better. And that's, you know, exercising, trying to keep a schedule, taking a minute to just breathe, you know, eating well, practicing grace and flexibility with yourself, doing things you enjoy. You know, I wasn't quite sure in the writer's comment if she's anxious about physically interacting with so many people because of COVID, or if just the thought of going back is making her anxious. You know, there are people for whom they were stressed out a little bit by their jobs, and not having to deal with some of the people they have to deal with was kind of a relief. And there are people who are naturally introverted who have kind of liked being home. And for those people, just the sort of shift of having to go out and interact with a lot of people again, or maybe interact with people who are angry with you, you know, it takes a little bit of preparation. But, you know, if you did it before, you can do it again. And, you know, taking care of yourself is a good way to get ready to do that.
We're talking to Michigan State University health and wellness educators Jennifer Johnson and Claudia Finkelstein about how to develop, in effect, emotional protective equipment for ourselves as we move forward through the pandemic. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What are some of your biggest worries about reentering public spaces, about going back to work or continuing work, maybe with more people around if you've been working all along? Do you have things you've done to keep yourself grounded, feeling emotionally healthy when things are looking bad? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you could join in the conversation over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Drs. Jennifer Johnson and Claudia Finkelstein from Michigan State University. We're talking about developing emotional and mental health personal protections as we re-enter public spaces amid the coronavirus or continue to work in them. If you've been out there already, you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you felt anxious about the health or the economic sides of what's going on with COVID-19? Have you found ways to work through that anxiety along the way? What do you tell your kids? If you run a workplace, how are you working with your employees? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Chris on Facebook, who works in retail, says they're having a hard time as it is trying to weather the wave. And what worries them is how people are not following distancing, not wearing masks, and acting as if there's nothing wrong. Chris writes, my anxiety levels have taken a beating during this, and I've weathered worse, but nothing like this. Well, that makes me think you also wrote, Dr. Finkelstein, in the piece we're talking about what employers and managers can do to work with their employees in that tough situation.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really important point. And I think that the people that have continued to work in retail, you know, in the grocery stores and everything, are really some of the very unsung heroes. I think that workplaces can make very explicitly clear, both to their employees and to their clients, what the policies are in order to keep everyone safe and to enforce them, so that actually there's a zero tolerance for people who are not following the safety guidelines. Dr. Atul Gawande, he's a well-known Harvard surgeon and writer, has determined there are four essential pillars to keeping communal spaces safe, and they involve hygiene, distancing, screening, and mask use. So I think the employers posting signs about, you know, in order to enter this space, you must meet these criteria, and then really, truly enforcing it so that the frontline guys do not have to spend their entire day full of anxiety of people disobeying the guidelines.
We also heard from Laura on Facebook. Laura writes that she's a nurse and is doubling down on distancing and preparing for the tsunami. Dr. Johnson, do you have thoughts for healthcare workers who have really seen this on a lot of ads? They have to keep working in most cases. They're at risk of maybe bringing the disease home. And, of course, they've seen the impact of COVID-19. Thoughts for people who work in the healthcare line?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, it is really, really stressful. We keep saying that, but it really is. And so, you know, for a lot of our frontline folks, you know, a lot of people go into those fields. They want to help. They want to fix things. But it's really important to recognize that responding to this can take an emotional toll on anyone. And, you know, signs of secondary traumatic stress can be physical, like fatigue or illness, or mental, like fear, withdrawal, or guilt. And that's just really important, if you can at all, to get a little bit of time for you and your family to recover from responding, even if it's only 30 minutes, even if it's only a few hours. Take a break from the media coverage. Make time for personal self-care activities that you enjoy, you know, like exercising or reading a book. And recognize that even supporters need support. And if your stress level is getting to the point that it's affecting your ability to do what you need to do, you know, talk to someone. And that's part of staying healthy.
Dr. Finkelstein, I wanted to ask about the role of uncertainty in all of this. So we don't know how COVID-19 is going to shake out in the months to come, and we don't know how the economy is going to do in the months to come, and that's hurting people in different ways. Do you have thoughts on how we can cope with that kind of really unresolvable uncertainty?
Oh, it's really hard. First, I want to just mention one thing. The Parachute Project is an online group of therapists and psychiatrists who are willing to provide emotional support to any frontline workers. So for the nurse who made the comment earlier, you may want to Google the Parachute Project as a possible source of support. In terms of uncertainty, I think that's one of the toughest things for we humans to deal with. And I think continually trying to remind ourselves that we have very limited control over the external circumstances. The only thing we can control is our own response during the circumstance. So I think really, you know, as we wrote in the article, the self-compassion, talking to yourself as if you're talking to a friend. Yes, this is hard. You know, pretending that it's not hard won't do you any favors, but we know we can get through this. You know, I think there's no denying the uncertainty takes a toll. And getting away from it, as Jennifer was mentioning earlier, changing your own channel by doing something entertaining, joyful, relaxing, to take your mind off continuously grinding over things that we don't have answers to yet.
Thanks. We'll leave it there. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
That's Jennifer Johnson, professor of public health and professor of OBGYN and psychiatry at Michigan State University, and Claudia Finkelstein, director of wellness, resilience, and vulnerable populations, also at Michigan State. We talked to them today about how we can prepare and protect ourselves mentally and emotionally as the pandemic goes on and as we start to come out of it over the months to come.